episode 29. Get out of here.
Bro, start it over.
Get out of here, Satan. Sorry, y'all. Chris, he's a little sick tonight. But, you know, that's not stopping us. Commitment is key. And that's what we are. Committed to our good Lord, Jesus Christ, who never stopped being committed to us. So let's start off with a little moment of prayer and get into this beautiful message. Dear God, we just love you, God, and we just thank you so much for the opportunity to come on here and speak on your love and your light, Lord Jesus, Lord. I pray that the Holy Spirit would come into this time and that the Holy Spirit would flow through us, Lord, that you would use me and Chris as a vessel to spread your good word, Lord, to spread the truth, Lord, that you are God, and that whoever's listening would have an encounter with you tonight, God, Lord. They would know that they are loved, that they are chosen, and that you are within them, God, and you are around them, God, always protecting them and looking over them, God. Lord, just fill our hearts. Lord, keep us in a posture, Lord, our heart in a posture that's centered around you and focused on you, God. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and thank you. In your almighty name we pray. Amen. All right. So tonight we're going to talk about a little wisdom, you know, a little wisdom I received from the Lord this week. So at the beginning of the week, about Sunday night to Tuesday afternoon, I felt on my spirit to go into a little fast, you know? And so during the fast, I was just really seeking some wisdom, you know? I wanted to grow closer to God by knowing more about him and just diving deeper into his word. And so I watched a little video about Ecclesiastes. And so that was talking about little Solomon action. And Solomon was like dumb rich, big king. He had like 700 wives and like 500 mistresses and all this stuff, and he had everything you could think of. They said he was making like $2 million a day. Like, if you translated the currency back then to today, like, he had everything, dog. Like, so much money. He had all the women, all the fame, all the glory, all this stuff. And so he had an opportunity where he could ask God for one thing, and he asked for wisdom, which was just kind of cool to me, because it's like he's got everything else, you know what I mean? But the one thing he lacked was the wisdom. And so I wanted to start reading Ecclesiastes, but when I opened it, my little Bible, you know what I'm saying? It's a little study Bible. It said you should read Proverbs first. So I was like, all right, let me get into Proverbs. And sure enough, Proverbs was just dropping straight wisdom on me. So that was kind of leading the topic for tonight, was kind of how to move according to the way God wants us to, not the way we want to, you know. And it starts off in Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And then it says that same thing again in Proverbs 9 chapter 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so when I read that twice, like, you know what I'm saying, back to back, I was like, huh. I was like, all right, so the fear of the Lord, that's the beginning of wisdom. So when I first started hearing the whole fear the Lord, fear God, I fear nothing but God, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, what does that even mean? What does that look like to fear God? And if you're not like really locked in with God, it's going to sound crazy. It's like, am I supposed to be scared of him? You know, like, is he going to attack me? Is he going to punish me? Is he about to strike me with lightning? Like, what is this fear? What is the fear supposed to mean? And the way I've just kind of come to know it is more of a respect, you know, the way it's like, You fear like your parent, you know, not because you're scared they're gonna hurt you, but you just it's a respectful thing, you know. It's like if you see a lion in the wild, you fear it, but it's like whatever that lion wants to do is what's gonna happen, you know. If it wants to attack you, it's gonna attack you. If it wants to let you go, it's gonna let you go. If it wants to come up and give you a little lion hug, that's what's gonna do. And so that's kind of just how I started to understand the fear of the Lord. It's like it's a respectful thing. You know, I fear him out of respect because I acknowledge the power that he is, knowing that he's greater than anything on this whole world. He created the world, right? So he is the root of all knowledge, of all wisdom. And so when I started to kind of open my mind to that, it then took me to Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6, and it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. So it just, it's kind of telling me off the rip that it's like, all right, it's not about me. It's not about what I think is right. It's not about the greatest scheme in my brain. It's about the grand scheme of all things, which is God's will. So when I'm truly walking in God's will, that's when things, you know, the path is going to be made straight according to his way and his plan. It's not always going to line up to what I think or what I look forward to, or even the best idea in my head is nothing compared to God's plan. So just with that in mind, we kind of wanted to talk about if you're looking to live according to God's will, you know, he's called us to be generous. And generous in all aspects, you know, generous with your time, with your money, with your love, with your all your resources, basically. And in doing that, you know, you're walking in the wisdom of the Lord, because God has been so, so generous to us, you know, just to have this moment where we get to speak on his word, just to be able to come into a church or to have a car or headphones to listen to this podcast. You know, that's generosity from God that we don't deserve. And so it's our job to walk as he wants us to, and he wants us to be generous, you know. And so it was kind of just touching my heart, this idea of generosity, because I think, like, it's something that's really lacking in the world, you know. Like a lot of this culture we live in is very selfish, it's self-oriented, you know. It's trying to get as much as you can, like hoard up your wealth, you know, get money, get all this stuff, have a nice car, a nice house, have plenty of clothes and shoes and all this stuff. But at the end of the day, that's not what's important, you know. We're called to be generous, you know. We're called to be giving. We're called to be faithful with every aspect of our life, right? So I guess that was just kind of the wisdom that God was trying to give me this week. And it just, I guess it hits home, because, you know, me and Chris, we go out pretty much most weekends, and we spend a lot of time with the homeless people and stuff, and try to be generous in that aspect. And the reward from that is literally just seeing the joy on their face, you know, just seeing like them feel loved and them feel like, dang, someone cares about me enough to come out here and spend some time with me, and, you know, and give me a little bit of food and give me a little bit of love, a little encouragement. And I just started to think, like, yeah, it's good that we do that on Sunday, but it's like, what does the rest of my week look like? Am I being generous with every aspect of my life, or am I just, you know, trying to help out the homeless people when I can? So that just, I mean, I think when you say generosity, it automatically, people think money. And yeah, God has called us to be generous with our funds, you know, because he's the source of our funds. Without God, we wouldn't have no money, you know what I'm saying? And so, yeah, there's the little idea of like 10% tithe. So give your first 10% back to God, whether that's donating to the church, donating to a charity, whatever the case may be. You know, that's something that he's called us to be faithful in. And in doing that, just personally, like, at first it was a rule that I thought I had to follow, until I started to see the fruit of it. You know, the minute I started giving God that 10% faithfully with no question, he started doing so much more with it than I ever could. And I think that's the important thing, you know, that we need to focus on, is like, what can we really do? We can't really do much, but when we make ourselves available to God's will and his way, the possibilities are endless. You know, I've seen that in my life, and I've seen the fruits of that labor come into other people's lives, you know? So I just thought it was a cool idea. And there's a lot of ways I wanted to run with it, but I don't know. You want to jump in?
Yo, I am sick today, so I might be coughing in the mic, something crazy, but we'll see. I think it's I like this topic. I like it a lot. I think especially because in our American culture, I think we're very sheltered from the rest of the world as far as how much money we got and all this other stuff. One thing Wally kind of brought up was the idea of that 10% tithe and then God giving more for that 10%. And really, the way that I see it is that talk about the river, right? Like, we're a river for God's wealth, right? And if God can't trust you with $100, to give 10% of that, why would he trust you with $1,000 or $10,000, right? If you won't even be generous with the little bit that he is giving you, right? Well, you know, that's how I see it, is like, I don't think the idea is that, like, God gives you more and more money because you, if you're living within your means at, like, I don't know, like, 80 grand a year, right, and then God gives you $1 million, I don't think he gave you that $1 million so that you can now live within the means of $500,000, right? I think it's just because God trusts that what you'll do with that money is continue to give it away, right? I see that, like, a lot, is, like, people, you know, like, the whole issue with the law, right? I watched this thing on Romans. What's that app called? Right Now Media, which Wally put me on. It's a stupid fire app. But I watched, like, this guy on Romans, and he talked about the issue with the law was that these people could follow the law no problem, but they were evil in their hearts still, right? And evil in their minds, and still evil in their ways, right? And I think a lot of people, at least myself, right, like, I can easily give 10%, but my heart might still be evil. I might be giving the 10% because I want, you know, I hear people say, oh, if you give this 10%, then God will give you more money, right? And I don't think that should be shouldn't be the heart posture. You know, the scriptures talk about, you know, being generous, like, because you want to be, right? Because you see your brother or sister who's in need, and that's in Christ, right? Like, you go to these other countries, right? Your brother and sister is 100% who has the Holy Spirit dying in some of these third world countries, you know? And it's like, we should look at those people and be like, that's a part of my body, and I should have this heart posture that I really want to give, right? And then when I start to give, I'm trusting that God will give me more money so that I can give more of it away. It's not so that then I can go and buy things that I want to buy. I think it's good, right, that Wally's bringing up the other things, but I think money's so important because we're a very, very greedy nation, and we've completely kind of put it aside, right? Time Magazine came out with this, these evangelists came out, and they're like, God wants you to be rich, right? And maybe, like, he wants you to be rich in spirit, but God does not care about money. There is no evidence in the Bible at all that God cares about that, you know, especially when you're reading New Testament scripture. It's like the poor people, the people who have been suppressed, the people who have been, you know, who don't have money. That's the people that Jesus is seeking after, right? And I really think it's because when we get all of this money, it's like, you know, we feel that we don't need God, right? And it's true. It really is. Because it's like, I don't know, something that Francis, he had like a whole sermon on it. And it was super good because it really made me think. It's like, I don't pray at every meal for the food that I'm eating because I don't realize that the only reason I'm eating that meal is because God allowed it to happen. I really do believe in my head that I work my job and all this stuff, and that's the reason, right? I'm born in America, right? Like, I'm born in America, and I have that, what do you call that? Like, when you're privileged, yeah. Like, I'm just privileged, right? And so I don't realize that the only reason I'm eating that meal, and that if it was God's will for me not to eat, if it was truly his will, that I wouldn't be eating, right? And so then I lose, and that's just for food, right? But, like, that's everything. That's my house. That's my car. It's my everything, right? And because we have so much money, it's like we lose this kind of dependence on God almost, right? But, yeah, it's like I there's this website. It's called World Vision. I definitely encourage people to go on there. For $40 a month, you can sponsor a kid, and it gives them food, education, and they teach them hygiene. And I got this one, Chad Rack, fire name. but you can see, like, I'm talking thousands and thousands and thousands of kids, dude. And it's Christian, so they teach them Jesus. They teach them the love of Jesus, and they teach them the Bible and all this other stuff, which is super cool. But, right, like, in all reality, it was, like, when I got on the website, dude, like, I felt it in a different way. Like, it's so easy to just be like, oh, they're starving kids or whatever. But it changed my heart posture to where I was, like, I really cared about the kid, you know what I mean? I told Wally, I looked up the statistic. It's every 10 seconds a child will die of starvation. So if you count to 10, every 10 seconds, right? For 1 minute, 6 kids are going to die of starvation. I think it's easy for us to kind of just put that out of our mind and be like, well, I need to support my family, or I need to do this for me, right? Like, or I need to be up, right? But it's really just like, I do need to take care of myself and whatever I do need to live, but it's like, how much do I need really, right? And how much should I be giving back? Wally brought up going out on Sundays, you know, and I think that's fire that he brought that up, that a big part of it, right, is that these people are just looked at, like, ignored completely, right? Just even think about, like, when you walk into the gas station, there's a homeless guy out there. It's like, you try, like, at least I do, right? In full honesty, it's like, you know, I try to avoid eye contact and stuff, and it's just, like, awkward, and I've gotten a lot better about it. Just, you know, people don't try to say hello to them, and they really kind of cast them out from society completely, right? And so a big part of these people is that they just feel, like, unwanted, right? Like, unloved, and that's really, like, the majority of the pain they're suffering, right? Because in America, dude, it's hard to go hungry. That's what I'm learning. Like, 250-pound homeless people coming up to us sometimes. Like, real life, you know? It's hard to go hungry in America, right? You can walk, like, 10 miles. Not even. You can walk half a mile, right, and find a water fountain, you know? But still, right, like, their pain is more just that. They feel unloved, you know? And so, like, going out there, for me, is what it's really done is just show that that person isn't any different from me as far as can they harness the Holy Spirit and are they somebody that God created, right? And somebody that God loves, right? Like somebody that God looks on, right? And they're not any different in that way. And that Jesus calls me. That's what he calls me. Like, if I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm called to care for those people, especially because I've been given abundantly, right? Truly, like, in America, we have abundance beyond what we really realize. But yeah,
it was good stuff. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff I wanted to touch on with that, you know. And it's hard talking about money with people because, like, it's uncomfortable, you know. It's a touchy subject because so many people, their idea of being generous has been skewed by the ways of the world. It's like, why would I give the money that I worked so hard for away? Or, you know, like, what if I do give the money away and then wrong is done with it? You know, like, what if I'm giving it to the church and the church is just taking this money and running it up, you know? And it's like, it's not really about that. You know what I mean? Like, it's not about, like, when we go out there with the homeless people, these people might not even be homeless, you know? But that's not really up to, that's not our problem, you know what I'm saying? Like, the thing that we're called to do is be faithful in our giving, you know? And knowing that, look, we're doing what God has called us to do, and the rest is in his hands. It's his will. Thy will be done. And that's what we need to constantly remember, you know? So if you're feeling it in your heart to give and be generous, then go do it. And it doesn't always have to be money, you know? It's like, one big thing I wanted to kind of talk about is being generous with your time, you know? Being generous with your love, and being generous with just, you know, compassion towards others. Being vulnerable with others, you know what I mean? Because that's when you're going to see the real breakthrough, you know? Because it's like, that's the thing that people need most, you know? Even if you're at the gas station, you see that homeless dude, I'm sure just going up and saying, hey, how are you doing? You know, actually having a real conversation, treating them as the human that they are, you know, the equal that they are, because we're all equal in God's eyes, you know. No financial status or where you live or what you do for work makes you better than anyone else. You know, we're all equal in God's eyes. So it's like, share that love with everyone you come across, you know, not just the people, you know, got money, or don't be trying to impress people or look a certain way in society. You know, it's like, we need to be focused on what God sees us as, you know, and we're living in generosity. He's well pleased with us when we're generous with our love and we witness to people, you know, the faithfulness that God's shown in our life. You know, that makes God real happy. You know, because if I was just like experiencing all these miracles and all this glory and all this beauty that God's pouring out on me, and I'm not telling nobody, I'm withholding, you know, the experience of God from other people. So it's like, we're called to be generous with even our testimony, you know, whatever your walk looks like. It's like, don't be afraid to share that with somebody, because whatever messed up situation God pulled you out of, or maybe he's trying to pull you out of it right now, maybe you're in the midst of that messed up situation, the more people that you tell about that, you know, like, hey, you know, I'm going through it right now, but I have full faith in God, and I know that he will deliver me from this. And the more people that you start talking to and being open with and real, it's like people are going to see you like, dang, this dude going through it, bro, but he still got that faith, you know, and they could be going through nothing and they got no faith. So they're like, maybe it's worth it. Let me give this whole faith thing a shot. And then sure enough, it's like whenever they are going through it, they've now been planted the seed of faith, and they're like, okay, this is something I can hold on to, you know, this is something I can grab onto that's never going to leave me. You know, when the girl leaves, or when the money leaves, or when the friends disappear on you, you know what I'm saying? It's like, faith is always going to be there for you. You just have to reach out for it. So yeah, I just think it's important, you know, to don't look at generosity just as a money thing, you know. Definitely whatever you can do to help, that's really important, you know, because like Chris said, we're very privileged in this country, you know. We live very comfortable lives. So it's like, you don't got to be making a lot of money to make a difference. 10% is 10%. If you make $50 a week, $5, bro, you know what I mean? It's like, it goes a long way for people. $50 a week, somebody, I don't know, somebody might be making $50 a week, but I'm just saying, you know what I mean? You could be making $5,000 a week, $5 million a week. You know what I'm saying? It's still called to be generous, you know? And so in Proverbs 3, is 27 to 28, it says, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due. When it is in your power to act, don't say, come back tomorrow and I'll give it to you. And when I read that, I was like, dang, that hits the heart a little bit, because it's like, you know, a lot of times I'll say personally, I withhold, you know, I'm in the position to help someone out, you know, and I don't a lot of times, you know, and that kind of convicted my heart, and it kind of showed me what I needed to do. And this past week, I was talking to some guys at the church, you know, and they were just talking about like, how are we using our faith, you know, like, are we kind of like undercover with it, or are we like bold? You know what I mean? And so when I read that, I was thinking more of the aspect of like, you know, when you see somebody, you know, and they're in a tough spot, and you're like, oh, I'm sorry you're going through that, bro, I'm going to pray for you. So it's like, are you really going to pray for them? I don't know. You might one or two times and you'll forget. You know what I'm saying? Because we're busy dudes. A lot of people to pray for. But one thing we can always do is like, in that moment when we're with that person, like, hey, bro, I'm sorry you're going through it, but if it's cool, like, you want to pray real quick? And then it's like, that person may have never received prayer before, you know? And just by you stepping out in faith and trying to be a vessel, you know, to spread God's love, like, you don't know what that's going to do to that person's heart. Because odds are, if you ask someone to pray over them or pray with them, like, they're never going to say no. Very rarely will they say no. And when you do pray, like, some people have never felt that before. And it's going to be this feeling inside of them that's unexplainable. They won't be able to describe it, but they know they felt something. And that is the Holy Spirit pouring into them, you know. And now you just made yourself a vessel to let God do the work that he wants to do in them. You know, you open a door for that person to then step into the eternity of salvation. And so it's really important, you know, to have that confidence in knowing that, like, God wants to use you. So don't disqualify yourself, you know, even if you're like, oh, I'm not very good at praying, or, oh, that's weird, or, oh, I'm going to look crazy. Like, all right, you might look crazy to the world, or you might feel a little weird in the moment, but it's like, we're not worried about the world. We're not worried about the moment. We're worried about forever, you know, because that's what we're working with right now. A lot of people are going to miss out on eternal salvation just by a little bit, and not saying it's your responsibility, you know, to get that person into heaven, but it's like, your one good act could change your life forever. You know, your one moment of faith could really impact them in such a special way. You know, when I experienced that today, it's like, one of my clients, he was just kind of going through it. You know, it's a rough time for him. And when he started telling me about it, I was like, dang, like, I need to pray with him, like, 1,000%. But, you know, instantly that spiritual warfare begins, and it's like, nah, I don't know, he might think I'm weird, or my next client, he's sitting out in the waiting room, he might think I'm weird, or like the other barber, he might be like, hey, yo. And so instantly I start having these thoughts, and I'm like, bro, that's all of the devil, dog. The devil's trying to block this blessing from this brother of mine who definitely needs some prayer right now. And so what did I do? Got done with the cut, dapped him up and said, all right, bro, I'll see you later. And he walked out, and instantly I felt like, damn, boy, like, I really messed up, you know what I'm saying? And so I sat for like probably like 10, 15 seconds. I was like, nah, we gotta do this, guy. Let's do it. You're calling me to this, let's do it. And so I told my next client, I said, hey, hold up, bro, give me 1 second. So I ran out after him, and I ended up asking him if we could pray. And you know, it could have meant nothing to him, or it could have meant the world to him, but that's not really up to me. That's between him and God, you know. But that seed was planted, and you know, he saw that, like, okay, Wally obviously believes in this Jesus guy if he ran out after me from the shop and wanted to pray over me, you know. And it was really cool. It was a really cool moment. But it's like, those are the things, like, I could have easily withheld the good from that person. Like, he needed some good in that moment, and I could have been like, nah, I don't want to look weird. And I almost did, bro. You know what I'm saying? There's going to be a lot of times where we do let that opportunity pass, and it's not like, oh, no, like, now we're both going to hell. It's just like, nah, but it's worth a shot, you know? You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So it's like, take that mindset with prayer. Be generous with your faith, you know? Don't be withholding your faith, because then it's not really doing what it's supposed to do, you know? Once I got this relationship with God, I want others to have it too, because I've seen the beauty in it. I've seen the like true miracle that God is, the way he moves in my life and the way he's faithful to me no matter what I'm doing to him, you know, because I'm not always faithful, bro. I'd be lying to you if I said I was. I'd be lying if I said I'm always generous, you know, but it's important, you know, to seek God, you know, to fear him, to gain that wisdom so that then he can lead you, you know. Because when you ask the Spirit to guide your steps for the day, like, the Spirit's going to lead you. It's just up to you if you want to follow. Like, in that moment, the Spirit was trying to lead me to pour into this dude, to pray over him and bring him a little bit of love. But it's like, I had to be obedient, you know. I had to really walk in that wisdom he had given me to, you know, like, I felt the Spirit clearly telling me, you know, pray. And my flesh was like, ah. But, you know, It was just a really cool experience, you know what I mean? And it's like, when you're being generous, you know, there's always fear that comes with it, you know, because naturally we're gonna worry about ourselves in those moments. Like I was just then, you know, I felt like I was called to be giving of the faith, but I was like, what am I gonna look like though, you know? And so it's definitely important to guard your heart, you know. Don't put yourself in a dangerous position or like a sticky situation, whether that's with money or with just like your own body, you know what I'm saying? Where, like, whatever it is, you got to have the discernment to know, like, where God's calling to you and where it's not. But the only way you can know that is if you're in a true relationship with him and seeking that wisdom from him, you know. But just another verse that I thought was cool was 11 verse 25, and it says, a generous person will prosper, refresh others. All right, hold on. No, I mixed a little two up. That refresh others was cool too. But it says, a generous person will prosper, refresh others, you will be refreshed. So it's like, when we're giving, we're going to be given back to, you know what I mean? And that's not our motive behind it, but that's just what God says. And I'm going to trust what he says. And I've seen it in my own life, you know, because then going on to the next part, refresh others, you'll be refreshed. Like when I brought, you know what I'm saying? When I brought God into the situation, like, it made me feel real good. It made me feel real close to God, which was cool. And I'm hoping that it brought him close to God too, you know? And it's just like, it's crazy what happens when you just let God lead, you know, when you truly let him lead in every aspect of your life. It's like, dang, bro, like now I'm seeing his glory come through, and it's not about me so much anymore. It's about what God can do through me, you know, and that's what we got to look at ourselves as, is just truly a vessel for God to exert his will through.
No, that's good. I think too, to Wally's point about being generous and then Right, in other ways other than money. But, so, like, he goes out and he, talking about how he goes out there and he prayed with the guy, right, because it was his faith, right? Like, I think it's like when we do good things, right, it's through faith, right? It's not, right, like, while he going out there to pray with that guy, it's not a thing of works. It's a thing of, I know who the one true God is, and I know what his promise is, and I know what he's done for me, right? And so I really want other people to experience this. And, you know, I know this guy at my Bible study, dude, and he was talking about basically salvation, and he started to cry, right? And it's like you can really tell that that's a person who really believes in the promise that Christ gave us, right? That because of what he did, right? Like, you know, it because of what he did, right? It gives us the salvation that we don't deserve. And it made him, like, brought him to tears, right? And he talked about, like, when he goes to, like, the airport and stuff like that. He talked about a story about going to the airport, but he said he was in the airport, and he's like, he can just see pain in people, right? Like, when he looks at people, things, like, look different now than before he had met Christ. And he said, like, kind of the same story. Like, he went into this airport, and he was walking by somebody, and he literally stopped, and he was, because he saw the pain in them. And he was with his daughter, and he's like, oh, man, like, you know, got to catch a flight or whatever. And he's like, nah, I have to, like, go back and pray for him, right? And that's what he said. He's like, I have not met a person yet who will deny prayer, right? Even if you're not Christian, or if you have no faith, or you don't believe in any God, right? Like, there really aren't many people who will say, nah, you can't pray over me, right? Like, because at the end of the day, it's just, like, a generous thing. And even, like, people who aren't believers, right, like, they know it's just out of a place of love, and they usually accept it. And especially if that person's in a lot of pain, right? And Wally kind of talked about, you know, it's just a seed, right? That's all it is. And so there's this verse, it says, it's 1 Corinthians 3:6, says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase, right? And that, what Paul's basically trying to say in that is, he's just saying that I can plant a seed, somebody else can water that seed, but it's really, at the end of the day, it's going to be God who's gonna produce the growth in that person, right? That's going to give that spirit growth and that faith growth, you know. It's just our jobs, right, to be constantly selflessly thinking of other people and how we can bring them to Christ, right, to really give them that gift. And then the other thing was, and then so there's one thing I heard, like, this, so, like, how I was talking about, like, your heart posture, I just want to touch on it a little bit more. If, like, I don't know, I think if, you know, so for somebody who's not, like, Christian, right, and something that C.S. Lewis writes about in his book, Mere Christianity, he's like, even if you do good acts, right, but you don't have Jesus in your heart, you're still an evil person, because there's a separate want that you have. Right, like, because we're evil, and that's what's proven throughout history, is that inside, right, nobody's good but God, right? That's what Jesus says when they call Jesus good. He says no one's good except for God, which is crazy, right? Because you think of anyone who could say, yeah, I'm good, it would be Jesus, but he doesn't. He says nope, no one's good except for God. And so, like, that means every single person has this evil heart. Right. And so the reason that we need this relationship with Christ, and we need this true faith and belief that what he did on that cross really saved us, is because it gives us a heart of giving, right? Truly, like, we are changed from the insides. That's why the whole idea of works is, like, beaten down, because it's like, even if you follow the works, you know, it's like a task, you know what I mean? Like, to go out and feed the homeless, it's like, you know, if I see it as, like, just a task that's going to get done, and, you know, I feel like there can be a million things that are wrong with my heart posture and doing that, that'll make it not a good works, right? Like that make it not good, you know, that make it still evil, right? And so 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, right? And so that's what's super cool, is not reluctantly or under compulsion. So it's not like you should feel this need to do it because it's like a good works, you know. It's, I shouldn't want to do things like pray for somebody because it's a good works. I should want to do it because I'm a cheerful giver, right? Like I truly want to just give. I have like some gift that I don't deserve. This guy, he says it's like if for somebody were to give you a gift that, so like the, it, how do you word it? It was super good. But he was talking about like the cross, right? Like that we're given this free gift, and then it's not ours to give, right, to the next person, right? But that we can share this news, that this gift that God has for them, right? And it's like, because I know the gift that I've received, I truly want someone else to receive it, because I know I was unworthy of it. I did no work for it, but that I'm saved because of it, and that they can be saved as well, right? The heart posture, and it's Remo who says heart posture all the time. Shout out Remo. But I really love that phrasing for it. You know, I really do. It's about what's inside, right? Like it's about, cause God sees everything, right? He sees all things, right? So he sees inside, he sees what I really feel about doing these things, right? If I'm really happy to be giving things away, you know. And I'll say this, that it's like, if you're at a spot where you're kind of like, I don't feel like I'm a cheerful giver, or I don't really want to give, and the only reason I would give is because I feel like it's the right thing to do, but that I don't feel that, I would say to definitely pray about it, right? Because, right, asking you shall receive. And I bet if you ask God for that change in your heart, right, that he would definitely, you know, he would do that, right? Like, God would definitely do that, would put you in that place of just truly wanting to give back, whether it be that time or just the free gift that we have received, right, through God, that we want other people to know about, right, sharing the good news, or if it is money, or if it is, you know, whatever it is. But, yeah.
Yeah. I like how you kept saying gift, you know, and that's truly what it is, our gift of faith. You know, it's a gift that's been given to us by God, and that's what we were kind of talking about last week, you know. And it's cool, too, because it's like this gift we've been given, like, think about when you're a kid and you get, like, a sick birthday present or a Christmas present, like, you want to show it off to the world. You instantly run out into the neighborhood and you showing all the other kids, look what I got, look what I got, look what I got, you know. And it's like, that's how we're called to be with our faith, you know. And Matthew 5:14-16, it says, you are the light of the world, a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. So we're called to be the lights, you know what I'm saying? God has lit us up, so it's like, show that light off and the world's gonna see it, you know. And it says, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So we're not called to receive this gift and put it under the bowl and hide it from everybody, you know. We're called to let it shine. And we let that faith shine, you know what I'm saying, by being obedient to what God has called us to do, you know. And just in this aspect, like God has called us to be like lovers of his people. We got to love his people, you know. And we got to, like, not even, we got to love everybody, you know what I'm saying. Like, whether they're part of this Christianity thing or not, you know, we got to love them. Because then if we're just loving the people we see at church, you know, we're not really doing God's work. Because then it's like, these people already got God. What about all the people in this world that don't have God? You know, what about all the people that have nothing? They have no idea of God. They have no faith. They have no hope. You know what I mean? We're called to bring them some hope. We're called to bring them a little bit of light into their day. And the only way we can do that is, like Chris was saying, with a pure heart, you know. Our heart has to be genuine, you know, because people can see it when you're just flexing and showing off, you know, like when you're out here, like, giving away money to people and you're like, yo, I'm out here giving away all this money, check out my IG. Like, that's clear that it's like you're doing it for the fame and the glory, you know, but God don't care about all that. That's all gonna perish, you know what I'm saying? Like, all these ideas of like big balling and running it up and all this stuff, bro, like, that stuff really don't matter to God, you know? And it's like, you could run it up for a little bit while you're here, but it's like, what about when you're gone? You know, you're not gonna be able to take that money with you. So it's like, while you're here and you got it, let's be generous with it. Let's be loving, let's be giving, let's be the hands and feet of Jesus, you know what I'm saying? Let's really put in the work that he's called us to, you know? And it's hard because like a lot of people, well, pretty much everybody I know, whether you're in the church or not, complains about the money that they make, you know what I mean? Like, financial struggle is a real thing, and I'm not discounting that, you know? Like, I know it is a real thing, but it's like, we're called to be faithful in every single aspect, you know? And it's like, it's not like you just are super broke and you're like, you know what, God's gonna make me rich one day, I'm just gonna sit back and let God do what he does. You know what I mean? It's like, no, we're called to work, you know, we're called to do everything as if we're doing it for the Lord, you know? So whatever job you're in, whatever situation you're in, you know, we're called to be working diligently. You know, it says lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth, you know? So it's like, we got to work hard in all we do. Do it as if we're literally working for the Lord, because we are, you know, like, he's our boss at the end of the day. So it's like, work in every aspect, financially, you know, spiritually. It's even just like the prayer. I really want to push the prayer thing, you know what I mean? Because I think it's so important as believers. Like, we need to be praying more, you know what I mean? And it's important to have your intimate prayer time with God, but it's so important to pray over other people, you know? It's so important to share that gift with other people, because it's such a cool thing, bro. Like, I would just like encourage like anybody, you know, it's like, just start praying for people, like, on the spot right then and there, because that's a testament to your faith, you know? That's you shining your light so bright, because it's what a lot of people are not doing, you know? Like, if every day at least one Christian was praying over somebody, like, think about how many people would be getting prayer. Like, it would be insane, and that's when we really start to see a change, you know? Because it's like, God's put us here to make a change, to be a light, you know what I mean? He wants to use us to bring glory to his kingdom. And it's like, if we're being quiet about his kingdom, it's not going to be glorified. So it's like, speak out for God, be bold for God, you know? And that's just really on my heart right now, you know? I just really want people to start praying, dog. It's so cool, like, just getting to pray over... Bro, shut up. My bad, we at the crib with it again, dog going crazy. But yeah, no, just my bad, dog threw me off. But yeah, so just back on the working hard thing, you know, that's something that we need to adapt in this, you know, in this time, because it's like, especially young people, you know, we don't really want to work that hard, but it's like, you know, you want to see a change, you gotta work for it, you know. And it's important to keep pride out of the mix, because the pride is going to get us to a point where it's like, I think I should be making more money. I think I should be getting more stuff and more clothes. And I think people should see what I'm doing, you know? But that pride, bro, it comes before the fall of every man. And that's the one thing God wants to kill, is our pride. So it's like, when you're being real prideful with your time and your money and your thing, it's all about you. And you know, you're not bringing no glory to God. So it's just really important, you know, to try your best to mirror your life with Jesus, you know, to not compare your life to anyone you see on Instagram or anyone you see out at the club or out, you know what I'm saying, that you would look up to as a man. You know, it's like, we're called to look up to Jesus, you know, and when we get in that mindset, like, he's gonna sharpen our movements to the point where it's like our heart's going to change, our mind's going to change, and we're going to start moving according to how he wants us to, you know, not how the world tells us how we should move. You know, we got to start asking him for the wisdom, for the discipline, the patience, you know, to follow his will, because it's not always easy. And even just praying for those things, the wisdom and the discipline, the patience, like, those are dangerous prayers, but they need to be prayed, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like, when you're asking God for wisdom, he's going to put you in situations where you're going to learn. And they're not always going to be easy or comfortable, you know? When you're asking for discipline, like, he's going to put you in a situation where it's like, you're going to need to be disciplined, or you're going to see what happens when you're undisciplined, when you're disobedient to him, you know? And the patience is like, You know, if you really got something you're wanting, something that you're really waiting on, and you're praying for the patience to be good in this season, you know what I'm saying? It's like, all right, you're gonna have to be patient, you know. But like, those prayers are so important, because through those acts of obedience and the ability to wait for God's timing, you know, it's like we're gonna see things come together how they're supposed to, and not how we'd necessarily want them to, you know. And it's so cool when it's like when you are obedient in those times, and then you see like why God wanted you to be that way, you know, because his will prevail always, whether we're obedient or not. But through the obedience, it's like you grow closer to him, and you start to understand why he had you walking in the way that he does, you know. And it's cool to see come true in your own life. You know, he's given us these promises, you know, and they only come through, like we can only physically see them come through when we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, you know. And so it's like, this is a convicting message for sure for me, you know what I mean? Because it's really making me reflect on like how I'm moving, you know, because I just don't want to be talking about all this stuff. I want to be doing this. I don't want to just be a hearer or a sayer of the word, you know. I want to be living the word out, you know. So it's like, it's cool stuff to talk about, and it's important, you know, because especially today, bro, like with people our age, like no one cares about this stuff. Everyone's just trying to flex and look better than the next man, you know, when really it's like we're called to love the next man, you know. We're called to see ourselves as equal as the next man, you know. It's one of the verses that stood out to me was Proverbs 12 verse 9, and it says, better to be a nobody yet have a servant than pretend to be somebody and have no food, you know what I mean? So it's like when we're walking in a way of humility, when we're not out here flexing and showing everything off and acting like we got it all, you know, like that's how God has called us to be. But then you see the people, you know what I'm saying, that are out here just dumb flexed up. They got all the Gucci, they Gucci down, sitting at the bus stop. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, what good does that really do at the end of the day? You know what I mean? It's like, unless you're out here preaching to the people on the bus, you know what I mean? Like, that Gucci don't really mean nothing. Because it's not coming with you, dog. I don't know. Maybe God got some fire little Gucci flops up in heaven, but I don't know. He didn't say nothing about that. That would be fire, a little golden Gucci piece. But it's just like, whatever we do have, you know, we're called to be, like, smart with it, you know. Whatever God has given us, we got to be grateful for it. Because like I said, bro, we don't deserve any of it. It's just so graciously given to us, you know. So it's important not to make an idol out of these things, an idol out of money, an idol out of the people that we see, the influencers and the celebrities and all this stuff who seem like they got it together. Because at the end of the day, bro, a lot of those people, it looks really good. Like, from the outside looking in, it looks really good. But at the end of the day, they're going home to the same darkness that we face every single day, you know? Whether you're rich or poor, we all got battles we're fighting, you know? We all got demons we're facing. And it's like, we need our medicine, and the medicine is Jesus Christ. And Jesus is going to be the thing that carries us through those dark times, you know, that delivers us from the demons that we're facing, you know? So it's like, if you're walking as a follower, you understand the importance of, you know, of the faith and of God's will, because it's like everything else is going to be gone. But at the end of the day, when this world falls apart, Jesus is going to be standing right there at the gate. And it's like, are you going to get in or not, you know? And right now while we're living, it's crunch time, you know what I'm saying? It's time to show, like, who are we really living for? Are we living for the world? Are we living for ourselves? Or are we living for Jesus, you know? And so there's just some pretty basic acts we can do, bro, you know, just being generous, seeking his wisdom, seeking his knowledge, you know what I mean? And we find all that in the word, you know. We find all that in the Bible. He's literally given us a guide on how to live, and it's right there for us to grab. It's like, but do we want to grab it, you know? Like the story we talk about all the time, the lady who reached out to grab Jesus' cloak, and she was healed instantly when she touched his cloak. When she just touched his shirt, she was instantly healed, because her faith knew that she just needed to reach out and grab onto Jesus to be freed. And that's just what we need to be doing while we're on this earth, bro. We just need to be reaching out for Jesus. Leave all the other stuff behind, you know, because it's like when you're walking according to God's will, there's the gifts are endless, and the biggest gift we receive is faith, you know. Like all that other stuff, the gold and the diamonds and the good clothes and the money and the car, Like, that stuff's cool. At the end of the day, though, what's even cooler is speaking life into somebody, spreading a little bit of love, and just giving that gift that was so freely given to us away.
Yeah. I think that's fire. I just want to read this thing. So, speaking about Solomon, right? So he wrote Proverbs. He also wrote Ecclesiastes. And Ecclesiastes, the whole idea of the book is he just talks about the meaninglessness of life, basically. And I'm going to read this part out of it, and then I'm going to kind of, I think, this is definitely good, I think, for the American person. And Wally kind of was talking about it, right? But he basically had every single thing that a person could desire in earth, right? They say he had like 500 concubines, which is basically just a woman who lives at your house. Who, you know, isn't your wife that you're having sexual relations with? They said he had about 500 of these women.
Seven hundred wives and five hundred concubines.
So it, basically, any woman he wants at any time. He had the riches that Wally talked about, all the money, anything he ever wanted, right? So as far as like the world goes, right, he had all of it, right? And so this book, what it's written about is just about that, the meaningless that he found in it all, right? That he had everything that you could ever want, and he still came up what's the point, right, type of thing. I've had everything that I could ever desire, and I still feel this, you know, unsatisfaction, basically. And so he says, so I hated life because of the work that is done. And so I'll say that so what toil means is work. And so he uses toil instead of the word work. And so that is one thing. And then I don't know that he says it in here, but if he does. But anyway, so he says, so I hated life because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. All of it is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. And you want to talk about something that's meaningless, think about chasing after wind. I don't think you could do anything more meaningless. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them to the one who comes after me, and who knows whether that person will be wise or foolish. Yet they have control over all the fruit of my toil, into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This, too, is meaningless. So my heart began to despair over all my toilsome labor under the sun. For a person may labor with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and then they must leave all they own to another who has not toiled for it. This too is meaningless and a great misfortune. What do people get for all the toil and anxious striving with which they labor under the sun? All their days their work is grief and pain. Even at night their minds do not rest. This too is meaningless. A person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own toil. This too I see is from the hand of God, for without him who can eat or find enjoyment? To the person who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness, but to the sinner he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. And so he's just saying, right, that it's like all the work that you do here on earth, right? Like, if that is your goal, right, if your goal is just to get super wealthy, get super rich, you want people to look at you a certain way, you're going to have the same exact experience as Solomon at the end of the day, right? Like, you'll never be satisfied. You'll always be wanting more, and nothing will ever be enough, right? And then if you ever get to that point where you have so much money, you don't know what to do with it, you're going to realize that all that work you've done was for nothing, right? It's why, and so the thing that I was going to say is that, like, what Jesus teaches us, right, is that we should be storing up treasures in heaven, right? Like, because it says that, you know, on earth, right, like, these things will perish. You know, I will perish. I won't be on earth for forever. And so I'll put all this work in for earthly things, right, worldly things, and it'll all be gone, right? It'll all vanish, right? I won't be here anymore, and it will all have been for nothing. All the pain and all the hard work, it's meaningless. Right, but if I'm focused on eternity and I'm building up riches in heaven, which I think the main issue is people not having the full believing heart that they're really getting riches in heaven, right? But if you truly believe in the the thing in the gift that we have, right, then you do know that all the good that we do here, right, that it does, like, it does add up to our glory in heaven, right, to the gifts that we have up there, right? And we literally are storing away. And it says, right, it's one thing in the New Testament, it says, is that where your treasures are, or where your heart is, where your heart will be, right? So if you're storing up treasures in a worldly way, right, then that's where your heart's going to be. It's going to be in the world. But if you're storing up treasures in heaven, right, that's where your heart's going to remain, is up in heaven, right? And so, yeah, I mean, I think that's, like, from the Bible itself, right? Like, that's the best thing you can take away, is that, especially here in America, like, we are very much so, especially when you got, like, the Andrew Tates and the, there's tons of them, dude, on TikTok and Instagram and all that stuff, of these influencers, right, who preach about how important it is to get this money because you want the Bugatti and the Lamborghini, and that's how he says it, that's how Andrew Tate says it, Bugatti, right, and they're constantly telling you, you know, you need to get all this money and these houses and all this stuff, that this will make you happy, and that stupid saying of, you know, if I'm sad, at least I'm sad in my Lamborghini or whatever it is. Like, that's a thing that people say, but it's wrong. It's so stupid, you know, especially, right, when we're believers, right? Like, we know that that's not true, right? That stuff is, it'll be gone in the wind. It'll be nothing, you know, but that if we are storing up treasures in heaven, that's forever. Those will be there for eternity. And we'll experience those riches for eternity. They'll always be there. No one can steal anything from you in heaven. No one can take it from you, right? What's yours is yours when you get up there. And that's where our heart should be at. Because that's a life that will bring meaning. You know, that's a life that does have meaning, that does have purpose. The life of just working for nothing is just, it'll always end up nil.
Nil. Nada. Yeah, bro. I just wanted to kind of, I just remember what you said at the beginning, like, when you were like, if God can't trust you with $1,000, how can he trust you with $1,000,000? You know what I mean? So it's like, if you are in that position right now, and you are genuinely wanting more money, you know, and if you've been faithful with the money that God has given you right now, he has no reason not to give you that money, you know? So don't give up on the prayer, but also remember, you got to work hard, you know? We got to work diligently, you know, we got to persevere through the trials and the storms. So, you know, don't give up, and just keep faith through it all, you know, and just remember that money doesn't define you. Status doesn't define you. Your car, your house, none of that defines you. What defines you is God. And to God, we're cherished, we're loved, and he desires to be with us, you know. So if you have entered into a relationship with God, and, you know, you still got the homies who are out here, you know, popping bottles in the section every weekend and throwing ones in the club and all that, like, don't give up on them, you know, because I know for me, I was that person for a while. So it's like, that's where I was seeking my glory and my satisfaction at, and it never filled me, not once. It seemed cool, it looked good, it was a cool story to post on Instagram, but at the end of the day, when those lights come on in the club, people start disappearing, they scatter like cockroaches, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, God never gonna scatter on you, bro. God's always gonna be there with you, and if you're sharing that comfort and that peace with your friends who are still lost in the ways of this world, you know, like, it's gonna hit them eventually. It's just God's time and God's will. So don't get discouraged, you know. Keep being a witness to God's faithfulness, you know. Keep sharing that testimony, keep sharing the love that you've received from God, because you never know when it's gonna hit, you know, the people around you in the heart, you know. It's just like, we got to keep making ourselves available. We got to be willing, you know. We got to be open with our testimony, open with our walk and story, so that we can see real results come from it. Because what we've walked through and what we've been through, it was all part of God's good and perfect plan. So we got to share it as that, you know. There's been darkness, there's been trials, you know. There's been storms that God has purely carried me through, you know. And it's only because I stand on the firm foundation, the rock that God is. And today it's like, when those tough times come, I don't have to worry, because I'm standing on the rock and I know God's got me, you know. And God's got you, and God's got your people, you know, your family, your friends, the ones that don't even know him yet, you know. By your faithfulness, generations will be knowing God and will be saved. So it's like, remember that. It's not just about you. It's about your kids. It's about your friends, your mom, your dad, your cousin, your uncle, all the people in your life, you know, that you might not even think about on a daily basis. But by your faithfulness, by the way you move, you will impact people in such a special way that you never thought you would, you know. So definitely don't disqualify yourself from being a shepherd, you know, from being a light, you know. Let that light shine. Let that love shine that you feel. But I think that's all we got. You got anything else, Chris? Yeah, good episode. Hope you guys got something out of it. Yeah, so let's go ahead and pray out. And so close your eyes, bow your heads for me. Dear God, Lord, we just thank you so much for the wisdom you fill us with, God, Lord. And we thank you for every opportunity that we get to be generous, God. And Lord, we thank you for the grace and mercy you show us, God, even when we aren't generous, God. And Lord, I just pray for whoever's listening, God, they take something out of this tonight, God, and they don't just hear it and think it sounds good or hear it and feel convicted, Lord, but they would hear it and take action, Lord. I pray that, Lord, we would just walk faithfully in every aspect of our life, God, Lord, financially, Lord, and friendships, Lord Jesus, Lord, and any relationship and any aspect of our life, God, Lord, I pray we would give it all to you, Lord, that we would fully surrender our life to you. Every single part of our life, God, Lord, we just give it to you, God, knowing that you can do way better with it than we ever could, God. Lord, you are power, you are love, and you are glory, God. Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit fills those that are listening, God. Lord, I pray that you would guide the steps of those that are listening, God, Lord, and continue to guide me and Chris, Lord Jesus, Lord, as we try to be vessels of your light and your love, Lord. I pray you would just protect all of us tonight, God, Lord, as you always have and always will, God. Lord, I just pray that the listeners, Lord, would know that you are a good, good Father, God, and you have nothing but your best interest in mind, Lord, and your best interest is what's best for us, God, even when we don't see it, God. So, Lord, just I pray we would remain faithful, God. I pray we would hold on to the gift that you have given us, Lord, and give that gift out to so many others, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, and we thank you, Lord God. In your almighty name we pray. Amen.